When your buddy was talking yesterday about he knew where he was comfortable in his calorie range, he automatically knew that all he needed to do was cut to like 715, 1750 or 1600, and he would lose weight and he wouldn't even be that hungry, right? Like
Yeah.
knowing that is very powerful. And I think where I'm at right now, and it all ties together with the garden outside, the garden inside, is we know so much nutritionally about plants and their atomic world and what a specific plant needs, how much of it needs, at what certain time, right? Pure biology, science. And I would like to start finding out where that very, very specific information comes. Where is that information for human beings? Like if
Yeah,
we have
no.
that information for food and plants and the way they grow and what their nutritional requirements are, right? To express the potential of a
Yeah.
plant's genetics, right? Where is that information for human beings? Where's that
Yeah.
chart for human beings?
That's such a great point. Before I'll let me just introduce, like I was saying with Bobby, it's like we don't have an intro here, we just jump right in. But welcome to anybody listening. This is one of my dear friends and client, former clients, David Halpin. You're in Tennessee, right?
Missouri.
Missouri. I know you were out there somewhere. I have so many friends in Tennessee now that I found out. I'm like, I need to get out there like soon as possible. But this is David. We worked together first, man,
2017 through
in the
right up
gym.
COVID.
Yeah.
And I,
So,
yep.
yeah. So actually, David was out here in San Jose working on a project. He works for a construction company. And so they send him out to different job sites all over the country. And so he was out here for, I think, like 8 or 9 months.
Yeah, it was almost a
And
year.
yeah, so during that time, we really did some work. And then, even so, when he moved back, then we started online coaching. And like, then that was the point where you really got shredded. Like we
Yeah.
did some serious work, but yeah, you would give a little. Actually, before you give a quick background on yourself, that point that you made was so good. Like I don't want to forget that. Actually, I'm gonna write it down and we'll come back to it. Why don't you just do a little intro on yourself, like the man, the myth, the legend.
I'm a family man. I'm a working man. I come from a large Catholic family. I'm the oldest of nine. Grew up in the Midwest. Was in sports, ran and swam in high school, played a little bit of baseball and soccer. And I was just been kind of generally active. Got out of high school, didn't know what I wanted to do, just fucked around for a while. Finally got tired of making pizza and sandwiches at the local famous Val's Pizza and Val's Famous Pizza and Grinders. And so I decided to get into the union and become a carpenter and get into construction. And that was kind of a turning point in my life, in terms of my career, right? So then I went. Got into the union, got an apprenticeship, started going to school at night, finally saw the connection between going to school and going to where I wanted to go. So that's when I got in and got a degree in construction management. Graduated in 2011, absolute just lowest of the low of that 2008 fallout. Got hired right away and just really haven't haven't looked back, just doing incredible in my career, just work for an incredible employee owned company. It's really great. You know, I got all the things, right? I got the job. I got all the stuff. So there's that. And then I've always been interested in food and where that comes from and how we get it. And done a lot of research. I probably got a couple bachelor's degrees in, you know, sustainable agriculture and all that kind of stuff. There's a period there where everywhere I went, I just looked for small local farmers doing their thing with the land in a responsible way. And, you know, looked into grazing cows, goats, pigs, sheep, the whole nine yards. I mean, we've had, I live on a quarter acre in a subdivision. You know, we've had chickens back here and we finally settled down with bees. So we're beekeepers, making honey and starting to get to the point where we're able to start producing some products, not just honey, but like soaps and salves and things like that. So I got that side gig going. Just love that. You know, I'm a medicinal cannabis cultivator for myself and also for other patients in the state of Missouri. That's a big part of my life. And you know, then there's the physical side of myself, right? And the spiritual side, which are intermeshed and interwoven into every single thing that I do. So yeah, I met Rambeer when I was looking for a place to move. Basically, I was super into CrossFit. I was really hook, line, and sinker into this, you know, grind it out until you got it. And I wasn't well. I was tight. I was stiff. I was sore. I didn't really know what I wanted, but I knew what I had wasn't it. And I just didn't really know how to get from point A to point B until I was riding my bicycle down the street killing time after work one day. And I saw this place on the corner that said San Jose Barbell. And I was just like, a barbell? I know what that is. I know what I can do with that. So that's how I found Rambeer. And then when I actually walked through the doors and Rambeer sat down and talked, I knew right away that I was in a very special place. And, it was a totally different experience than I've ever had before in my life, Rambeer. Finally, somebody wasn't telling me to just grind it out and pound it out until shit happens. Finally, somebody was telling me that it doesn't matter how much you work out. If you're not eating along with that, you're still not going to look like how you want to look. And, you know, learning how much that rest was so important and, you know, kindness and self-compassion and all these kind of things, like perspective, really, my perspectives began to change. And, it was all due to this work that you and I did together, Rambeer. And it was incredible. Changed my life. I always wanted to have washboard abs. Well, guess what? I got them, you know, and I can get them anytime I want. It'll probably only take about 90 days, probably. And I'll be hungry as fuck, but I know I can. And then, you know what? If I really wanted to, like, I can also maintain it, you know? For me, Rambeer, something that I'm working on currently today is, and I don't know how to put this any other way, is mustering the will to do what I need to do to get what I want. And that is the crux of it for me. And I'm sure that's something you see with a lot of your clients, is, and that's why we reach out to you and come to you for help, is because that's the part that I need help with, right? I can follow direction and blah, 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 but you know, I just want somebody to tell me what to do, and I want to get the easiest way possible forward, right? So knowing that there's a way to do that, you know, is just really, really great. And it causes me to question everything that I do in my life, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying really, really, really hard, and I'm not getting any results, and I'm miserable, then what is the point?
What's going Something's on, yeah.
Right. What's going on, you know? So,
well, you know, that's That's not only something I see just in with you know clients or former clients or myself. I mean that's something that everybody goes through, and you know it's like there's also seasons that you kind of go through, you know. I actually, you know, people just make they see what they see, and then we create narratives around things. And you know, people kind of assume that, you know, even for me, like it's just, you know, super easy. We don't see any of the stuff in the background of like, well, you know, I'm not where I want to be. And that's part of it too, is like what you were saying earlier is like no one would ever say like you're out of shape except for you. And the same thing goes for me is like I'm not what I prefer is far leaner than what I am, but not a single person on the planet would be like, dude, like you, what do you, like you let yourself go. Not a single person would say that, like, you know, except for me. And like my wife will always say like okay, you're not like you have a your perception of what you look like is not accurate. But that's part of the thing is like, you know, you're saying like the kindness and the perspective and just the calmness that I see. The one of the biggest things that I see with you know everybody that I work with, and probably one of the things that I'm most proud of is like what you just said. Like it'll number one, you have this calmness and certainty. Like if you want to do something, like okay, like versus what I typically see when people first come in or just people out in the world is like this frantic energy, this like, oh, like I don't know, like you know what I mean? There's not this sense of calm, like, which is huge. And you know, that's not just for this piece, it's for everything. Like, you know, this piece should be feeding and enriching the rest of your life, which is why I always like. I define health as your ability to engage with life on your terms. Like, that's what health is, not, you know, anything else. And that's up to you to kind of figure out. And we go through different seasons, but if you have that equanimity, which, you know, we talk about a lot, then it becomes a lot easier. So it becomes a lot less stressful and dramatic to be like, you know what? This is what I want to do, or this is what I don't want to do.
Well, also, you know, the practice of stopping and allowing your brain time to get out of that negative feedback loop, right? To step out of it and to look at it from a different perspective, change my stance and try it again, right? Come at it from a different angle. Like, that's something as a human being that we're all able to also do, right? Oh, you know, I get real wrapped up in, oh, I'm so negative. I can't do it. I'm not good enough. And I'm really great at doing that, right? And I give myself so much credit for being great at doing that. And on the flip side of that coin is I'm really good at doing that too. I'm really good at stepping back, taking a pause, adjusting my breath. And you know, the one thing that really I think that was important for me when you and I were working together a couple years ago was that idea of self-compassion. I was really going through some shit, and you were like, well, you know, you asked me like straight up, well, can you forgive that person? And I was like, well, I don't want to. And you were like, can you forgive that person? And I was like, well, yeah,
I could.
Yeah, sure, I can. You're like, well, okay, that's good enough. Let's start there.
Yeah.
And that was just like really eye-opening. And that was a moment of change for me that helped me to turn a corner, because whatever is going on outside of me that I don't like, is there's something going on inside of me first and foremost that needs to be addressed. And learning to address that through the framework of the work we do here with counting calories and steps and macros and tracking and all that kind of stuff, it's another lens to view our life through, right? And it's another tool that we have to be able to do what we need to do.
And it's the most helpful and useful one. Like, I'm, you know, I also try to look at things very practically. And my question is like, well, is this useful to me to think in this way? Is this helpful to me to be angry? Because, like, you know, we all get angry or disturbed or whatever. But, like, I have to ask, like, am I getting what I want? Am I by that? Does that feel good? Is this useful? And the answer is like, no, like it doesn't actually feel good, you know? And I also don't, you know, I'm like, people kind of, and I've gone through this as well, as like, it doesn't mean like we reject or we're trying to eliminate those feelings. It's like their guidance, like they tell us like, oh, this is not right, this doesn't feel good, now it's pointing me towards something else, not let me stew in this emotion. But it's great that you mentioned the self-compassion, because like all this stuff is fantastic, and like you mentioned it before, like we live actually in the, it's so amazing, we live in like the best time where I can pull up all the calorie information on this thing.
That to me is a freaking miracle, dude. In this day and age, where you can actually go to the store and read the label and know that that's what you're in your food. I mean, that should be illegal as far as I'm concerned. Like, what the fuck? How is this still legal? I don't know. It turned my world upside down.
It's crazy because, you know, literally in 2010, because my Fitness Pal is only about, I want to say it's like 12 years old, but prior to that time period, if you wanted calorie information, there was a book, like a super fat book. I mean, you could go online, but like the way that the serious people did it, they had this book that they would go through. And that's also why, like, you know, people did, like, the main way that most, if somebody wanted to get in shape, was like they only ate chicken breast and broccoli and yams, because you're not going to go through. Yeah. Yeah. Like, that was it. But it's the
spinach and chicken breast,
yams, sweet potatoes.
Dude, so gross.
Yeah. And I remember, so I was watching this interview with like five or six of the world's strongest men competitors, like some of the top guys throughout history. And there, you have these giant human beings who have accomplished some pretty amazing things. You know what they were all talking about? Self-compassion. And like, if you get to the core of it, like if you can't, you already said it, man, like we might as well just clip that little piece and like, if there's something, stuff that's going on outside of you, let's just put like, first, there's something that I need to address inside of me. Like that's it. And usually it's a lack of, you know, self-love and self-compassion. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because we get to, the stuff is cool. You know, the technical stuff we have to do as far as getting leaner, stronger, more mobile. But at the end of the day, that's what, if you don't feel good inside of that body, it's the same as sitting in a Ferrari or whatever, take your pick. and not feeling good. You know, it's the same thing.
Again, to go back to that most recent podcast you were doing, what were you guys talking about? I think I just lost my train of thought, but there was, I'm sorry, lost my train of thought. And edit that one.
No, we're going to leave it in. It's all good. But so getting back to the point before I had you do your introduction, you were mentioning that we know exactly what plants need to fully express that the potential and what we want it to do. And the same is true for like animals and livestock and pets. Like everybody yes. knows, like if you have a racehorse or, you know, or any animal, and I know they know how many calories they want to feed it, et cetera, et cetera. Because even like an ounce extra of body fat on that horse is going to affect, you know, his performance. Why don't we do have that for humans? Well, I mean, we do have that for humans. It's just that the horse is not going to tell you his emotions, and the emotional drama of like, he's not going to sit there and be like, well, you know, Betsy over there, like, you know, doesn't want to talk to me and she's doing this. And like, you know, my boss yelled at me, so I just would rather eat this cake and feel good. Like, he's not going to do that, you know. But we have all that.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and which is why it becomes a little challenging or muddied to be like, oh, actually, a human can lose the exact amount of fat they want if they eat X amount of calories, blah, blah, blah. You know?
Have you seen that show Alone?
Which one?
That show Alone?
No.
I don't know if you know the premise, but they drop like 10 people off or something in some wilderness area, right? They get like to pick like 10 things or something that'll help them survive. And then basically the person who stays in the wilderness the longest without their body breaking down, right? Because that's always what it's down to is the winner, right? So some people go 100 days or whatever. Most of the people drop out at 2 weeks, not because they're starving, but because their brains are not capable of being alone, literally. Yeah. The people that do make it, they literally are taken off the show most of the time. They are stopped medically because the doctors that are watching over them know that for that specific body at this threshold, you are starting to do irreversible damage to your organs and they pull you out, right?
Yeah.
That like demonstrates a very deep knowledge of human nutrition and the thresholds that we're capable of. That's really the interesting stuff. But you know what? We're talking about all this, right? And what keeps coming to my mind is the also something that you showed me and introduced me to is this notion of straight line thinking, right? There are so many things. There are so many directions I can go that are anything but where I want to go, or that will bring me anywhere but where I want to go. And I put them directly in front of between me and where I want to go. So my strange, you know, fantasy or desire to have this information at my fingertips is just another thing in my brain to stop me from going where I want to go. So
yeah.
And that's another thing too that I grapple with is the you know that part of it, that again the whole mind part of it is like that straight line thinking has helped me in so many situations, especially when I'm feeling overwhelmed, I'm feeling frantic, I'm feeling like I'm not good enough and I can't do it right. That is when I have learned especially to stop and take a step back and be like, okay, I have this deadline. The things that I need to do, like seriously, to get to this deadline are most of the time, stop doing all that other bullshit that doesn't matter and start doing exactly what I need to do to get to the next point, right? We talk about processes, right? You know, especially like in the theory of project management and stuff like that and scheduling, which I do a lot of. You can't do B until you've done A.
Yeah.
And you can't get to C unless A and B are both complete. You might be able to start C a little sooner before B is complete, but really to complete C, A and B are also going to have to be complete, right? So like there's a process to things, and that straight line thinking has really helped me because it gives me something to do rather than just wring my hands and worry.
Yeah, no, and it eliminates all the extra emotional drama that we create for ourselves. So for anybody who doesn't know what straight line thinking is, that's a framework that I learned from one of my mentors who actually is in Nashville, Tennessee. Shout out to Craig. But it's from a book by Steve Chandler, and straight line thinking. Quick summary of that is, you know, you figure out what is it that you want and where are you now and what are the necessary required actions in between that, like you said, like not anything superfluous, just what is the actual necessary required action to get to that point. And then you do that and you can eliminate everything else. And that's so powerful because what we do otherwise is, you know, circuitous thinking where we just kind of go around in circles and we never really close that gap. One of my favorite examples that I think I shared with you too, but it's like some girl was saying, you know, I'm having so much trouble with drinking water. And she was talking about water bottles and different canteens. And I was like, what are you doing right now? She's like, oh, I'm sitting at my desk at my house. I was like, go grab a glass of water and drink it. And I was like, and she did it. And I was like, done. Like you no longer have a problem with drinking water. All of that circuitous thinking, and you were making this such, the only necessary required action to drink more water is to have some type of thing that you can put water in and to drink it. That's it. Nothing else now exists. But we do that with everything. And by the way, I mean, I'm just as guilty of that in different areas, but that's the beauty of this is like, you know, is like, I always tell everybody, I'm like, this benefits me more than you have any idea. And that's why one of the reasons I do it is like, I'm reminding myself like every single time. And so the straight line thinking is a very powerful tool. That's always the goal for me is like, I want to remove things from clients. I want to take things off the plate. I want to take away as much stuff that is not relevant so that you get your bandwidth back to be like you're not over here worrying about, you know, the thousand things that, and God bless Andrew Huberman and all these people because they're doing stuff, and they're sharing good messages, which is the kindness part, which is what I really care about. But man, all the stuff that everybody is always talking about, I'm like, I want to take away as many of those things as possible and leave you with the core of what's going to transform your body. And now you get all that mental bandwidth back, that emotional bandwidth, that energy, that time, that money, and now you can apply it to things that matter to you, you know? Like,
yeah, you're freed up to do things that you didn't even know you wanted to be freed up to do.
But yeah, man, it's a powerful tool. And we worked on a lot of things even outside, like I always say, like fitness is just the vehicle, like, it, and you know, life is better in a stronger, leaner body.
I like your focus on the word strength. Because it helps us do so many things. You know, just the other day I was watching this video. It came across my Instagram feed, and it was some marketing deal, right? About mobility and flexibility. And it was this, you know, person basically saying, I have the secret, you know, to mobility and flexibility, right? And I thought to myself, I have the secret too. Get strong. You know how you get strong? By moving heavier things than you normally would on purpose. And that for me was like one of those things, one of those lessons that I learned was that, like, literally, if you move around and you get strong, everything else improves. Did you see that movie on Netflix called Stutz?
No, Stutz.
Stutz. It's a documentary. One of those late 90s kids, comedy guy. I can't remember his name. But anyway, he wrote this documentary, and it's about his therapist, right? And he did this documentary because he was so grateful and impressed with this mode of living that his therapist showed him. So part of his documentary was he wanted to share with the world this therapist's methods. And this therapist's methods weren't much different than any other methods that I hear about that really work for people, including the methods that you and I employ. It's the magic is where when the people that didn't know about them before, but once it's introduced, it's like the light bulb goes on and there's no going back. You can't go back to what you didn't know before. And I was impressed by the methods because they were very much reminiscent of the straight line stuff. Like, get rid of the bullshit that you don't need to move forward. And one key thing that this guy said, which relates to what we're talking about physically, is that he said you can always work on the body's power. He's like, you have your physical power, you have your emotional power, and you have your spiritual power. And that physical power is the base of everything that we do. And of course, like, I immediately thought of what we do, Ranbir, because it's just so simple. Like, do you want to change your life to get what you want? There's only one thing to do, and that's become strong, physically strong, mentally strong, and spiritually strong.
Yeah. Well,
it starts with the strength. If you're not physically strong, then you haven't experienced what you need to do to get physically strong. And that will take you forward in your emotional and your spiritual life. It's all three acting in tandem, you know?
Yeah.
It's getting all three of those, you know, in that ballet of life to work. That's the beauty.
Well, that's why I changed it to the strength method from San Jose Barbell, because I was like, strength is the foundation of everything. And, you know, not just the physical. The physical is like this, you know, it works, like you said, it works to get, like, we don't want just physical strength. We want physical, emotional, spiritual, intellect. Like, we want strength in all domains, you know, those three being the biggest ones. And it's like, the stronger, there's such great lessons that I've learned from strength coaches over the, you know, last 20 years. And it just applies to so many things. One thing that comes up is like, rather than worrying about 20 different things, if you could figure out one thing out of those 20 that would either eliminate the need for 19 of the other ones, or, you know, eliminate 10 of them, whatever. Like, why would you not spend that little bit of time to figure that piece out? And so for the physical side, like you said, people are selling a lot of stuff. And I this is why, like, I never like to, like, it's not about, oh, throwing rocks at other people or throwing stones at other methods. Like, everything has its own place. It's fine, blah, blah, blah. It's more of like, you know, what's a less friction way of doing things? Let me find the vital few and ignore the trivial many. Like, that is the most I want. And like you said, I'm the same as you. It's like, I want to do things in the easiest way possible. Like, I don't want to bang my head and grind and do all this, like, 'cause it's not necessary. That's what it comes down to. You can do
Oh
it.
man, I'm so glad. I'm so glad we've worked together and shared this experience, because every time I see something come across the interweb on my social media that talks about grinding it out and you're not going to be successful if you don't do this and you don't, I'm just like, ugh, count me out.
Yeah. And you
Just
know,
man.
it's and it goes across the board. Like, in my culture, it's so big to, oh, we're working hard, blah, blah, blah. And it was just like, it's to a point where it's, you know, there's positive things in the culture, but it's also toxic things in the culture. And like, yeah, working is good, but why, what? I always had to question it because it didn't sit right with me personally and my disposition. But like, what if you could achieve all the same results with a fraction of the time, and then that extra time, then you could spend it with your family, which is why you're working to begin with. Like, you know, like, but it requires being open and receptive.
Yes.
We come to conclusions and we don't allow ourselves to sit with things. Like, there's a great book or from the Harvard Business News called Teaching Smart People How to Learn. If anybody ever wants a copy of that, or you can't find it, let me know, I'll send it. But he talks about they talk about o open loops. Like, don't rush to solve every problem. Don't rush to close every loop. Like, be okay with sitting and allowing better answers to come to you, you know. And we don't do that. We don't practice, or we're not taught that, to be honest, you know. And so it's like,
You have to find that through suffering.
yeah, I mean,
Been my experience.
that's, yeah, that's
Those
kind of
things
what it
that come
comes down
out of
to.
the pursuit of life, I think.
Yeah.
If you're
Yeah.
looking for it, if you're searching, it will be found.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, 100%. You know, that's why, like, people create teams against so many things. And like, it's in the Bible. It's in, and that's the reason I say that is like, there is so much wisdom in the Bible and in all of these spiritual books, but we're too busy creating teams and talking about dumb shit. And like, well, what does the word say? You know, ask and you shall receive. If you don't ask, why would you ever get the answer you want? You know what
Right.
I mean?
Haven't even the answer is always no until you ask.
Yeah. This is, yeah. And that's kind of why I'm like, the one of the reasons, you know, I asked you to come on here, and I'm asking a lot of former clients to come on, is because, you know, I just want to share this experience with people. Like, it doesn't need to be like, I want to help people feel good. And it's not about, oh, we're going to change the whole world. It's just about, if one person hears this, fantastic. That person could experience a better life. That's all. You remember this story? So, for people who don't know, at San Jose Barbell, we used to tell stories before every class. One of, you remember the starfish story?
I don't know if I remember the starfish one. Tell it to me.
The starfish story, long story short, was this I think it was like a young person is on the beach, and he's the tide had come in and then it went out, and all these starfish were stuck, right? And so they were not in the water anymore. And this guy, there's thousands of them. And so this guy was going down the beach one by one and throwing them back in the water. And, you know, this other kid comes up, or this, I don't know if it's this kid or an old man, but he comes, he's like, you're not going to be able to save all of them. And he goes, it doesn't matter. And the other guy looks at him, smiles. He picks up one more and he goes, matter to that one. And like, that's really the thing, is like, if one person can be shown that life can be good and easy and enjoyable and feel good through everything, that's it. That's the one starfish, you know? So that's one of the reasons that I was like, oh, I got to get David. We got to have a chat.
Yeah. Thanks for reaching out. The timing was great. And then I was like, hey, and we can do this on New Year's Day too. Even better. Yeah. But at a time when everybody's, you know, thinking about the new things that they want in their life, and seasons, right? And phases, and patterns and rhythms, and you know, we're at the starting point of a new one right now, and you know, that's really important for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good point, because you know, we also create teams, and like, we just find reasons to, I don't even know what word I'm looking for, but like, you know, it's very popular for in the fitness industry and the motivation industry to be like, you don't have to wait till New Year's, and you know, New Year's resolution, like just basically like shitting on New Year's and the people who, you know, wait till the New Year. It's like, but also, what if this, I just made a post like yesterday, is like, what if this year, the New Year's resolution you made, you were one of the 5% of people who stuck with it and it changed your entire life?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, right.
Why? It's a tool.
Well, that's something matter. I'm going to do, which is throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite. And everybody's always throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And I'm like, like, why are you doing that? The baby was in there. You know?
Yeah.
You know, so one of the things that I wanted to ask you, or like, since you were talking about the physical strength, is like, share a little bit, because this is very cool. We actually, so we haven't even gotten to the story really. Like, you really were driving around all over the country, flying all over the country, mostly driving though. Yeah. When we were working together, while you got shredded, so you didn't have access to a gym.
I think that was one of the corners I rat holed you into, was like, no, Rambeer, I'm not joining a gym. And you're like, you gave me some shit for a little while, but you finally backed off and were like, okay, let's do this. And we did it.
Yeah. And you did literally two things, two movements.
Yep.
And it was such a basic pro, but that's the thing. It's like, people don't realize how simple everything is. I believe we were doing airborne lunges and push-ups.
Yes, that was it.
Yeah. And then I remember very vividly this one time you were telling me, like, dude, they dumped this whole thing of mulch or something, and like, typically what would require a bunch of people, and you would get tired, like, you just did it all yourself because you didn't want to wait around for somebody to go do it. And you're like, dude, it was so easy. And like, the strength that you felt from doing two simple things, you didn't, we weren't doing anything fancy.
There's no fancy about it, let me tell you that. No YouTube video of that shit going down. Nobody wants to see that. No. But it worked. Holy shit, does it work?
Yeah.
I remember Shannon like giving me shit because I was getting too ripped. She was like, "What the fuck?" I was so ripped. I've never been ripped like that before, okay? And I'm not now. But I was so ripped that like I felt ashamed for looking at myself in the mirror because I looked so
Oh man.
That's I would hilarious. Like taking my clothes off to take a shower and I'd look over and I'd be like, "Holy shit. Oh, that's me. Wow, yeah. Cool." You know, and I thought it was going to like take 5 years or something. No.
No.
It took like 5 weeks.
Dude, and talk a little bit about like, you know, because the food and whatnot, because, you know, people, we will create all of these reasons why we can't. Mm-hmm. And they all sound legitimate. But we literally had no, we didn't have a kitchen. We didn't have, you were constantly traveling. Mm-hmm. Like,
Airbnb. Yeah. It
was yeah.
Just, I bought a food scale and I bought the premium membership to MyFitnessPal. My iPhone already does my steps. I also bought, you know, like a cheapy $20 digital scale for the bathroom. I think I ended up buying like three or four of those in my travels because I'd either forget one or whatever. But at that point I was like, I don't care. This is one of my tools. This is working for me. You lulled me into this. You tricked me into doing this by just giving me calories to track first. And you let me do that for about 2 weeks. And by the end of that 2 weeks, I was like, oh man, this is fucking easy. I can eat whatever the hell I want. I'm losing weight. Great. And then you said, oh, by the way, now we're going to do macros. And then I got excited because I'd always heard of macros, but I didn't know what the hell they were. And that was when it just really started dropping off. That was right before our first little one was born. And I'll never remember. Shannon was in labor, bent over the bed or something like that, having a contraction, and I was doing push-ups and single leg lunges.
Airborne lunges, yeah.
In the past, and COVID. It was a really beautiful thing. And you know what? And I taught Shannon too. And yeah. She did it and it just melted off. And she was like, whoa, you know, and I've every single person I've met since or talked to that's willing to listen about it, I tell it to them because yeah. I say, guys, it is this simple.
Yeah.
When that by far the most powerful tool, if you want to get down to the nitty gritty, I think is the ability to count the calories and know exactly yeah. what's into your body. Me in my natural state, and I'm just saying this based on my experience, not hard numbers right now, is left to my own devices, I'll probably eat 5 or 6,000 calories a day. And they'll be probably mostly carbohydrates, shitty processed carbohydrates and lots of vegetable oils, because that's what's available, right? And I can do that. I can eat 5 or 6,000 calories of that without even thinking.
Yeah.
And that's why I weigh 215 or 220 pounds right yeah. now, because I do that on a regular basis, right?
Yeah.
So what's the answer? Well, cut it down to 2,000 and go for a couple of weeks and see how you feel. Yeah. The tracking part is really where it gets into it too. And that's really, for me, I think one of the more difficult parts of it is the tracking. That's the behind the scene work that isn't seen, right? And to your point, after you've done it a few thousand times, right? After you've ingrained that new perspective, it becomes automatic.
Yeah. And
the fear goes, because I'm no longer helpless.
Yeah. And that fear, the uncertainty goes away. It's like, and that's what me and Bobby, that's what I always keep talking about. It's like, You spend even 30 days, even 7 days tracking everything over and over. That education will pay for a lifetime because guess what? You know that here's a simple one. You know that a gram of fat has 9 calories in it, always. You know that one egg is about 70 calories. The only way you would know that is if you had weighed, an egg, or not weighed, but like tracked an egg and scanned it 20 times. And now that I say that, I'm like, if you really wanted to, learn, you could probably sit down a couple of days, hour, 2 hours at a time, and just go through your kitchen scanning things over and over again and seeing what how many calories different things have. Even that will have the return on that time investment, you can't even like put a price on it. Because for the rest of your life, this is why I always say I can go anywhere in the world, eat anything, anytime, any cuisine, and I'll never gain fat because I know, what? Any carb thing, I know what it is. I can go in any country, tortillas in Mexico, roti in India. I don't know what other cultures have bread type things, but like I know what
Pasta
pasta in Italy, like I know what it is. Rice in any country. It's not like there's like a million foods you got to learn. It's there's like 30 foods, maybe. And it's the same as like learning. And I this is something that I one of my projects for this year is learning to speak fluently Spanish. I can understand it and whatnot, but a great point that I just heard was like, you probably only need to know like 200 different words or 300 different words. I don't remember what the number is. And that makes it so much more like manageable. Like it doesn't seem as daunting. And so with food stuff, it's like it feels so crazy, but it's like, well, if you just take a second, like how many different things do you actually eat? And what things do you need to know? Rice, bread, chicken, steak, pizza. Like once you get it, it's like, oh, that's not too many. I know those things. And like you said, MyFitnessPal is like this is I love these conversations because it reminds me of like, damn, I have this thing in my phone called MyFitnessPal, and it allows me to the T know exactly how many calories I'm eating, and I can go to In and Out on a regular basis, be shredded and eat In and Out. Like, what is this?
I got I've gotten really good with creating my own recipes from scratch on MyFitnessPal. And to just kind of learn that breakdown too. And then, the learning process for me about how figuring out how to put input all the ingredients so that I could just, like for instance, like a chili, right? You think that might be kind of difficult to track because there's just so much stuff in it, it's all mixed together, you don't know what, blah, blah, blah. Well, if you know the basic weights of every single ingredient that you put in, and you do it by grams, right? Then at the end, when you slop yourself a serving, all you have to do is weigh the grams, and boom, that's it. Okay, I ate 250 grams of this chili. How many, fat, protein, and carbs? It tells you. And it's like once I turn the corner of that too, then that really opened it up because I'm not limited to items that I can scan on the shelf. Okay, so if I'm going into 7-Eleven, right, and I grab a Monster Milk and I grab some jerky, like that's one thing, right? Like, yes, I can survive, right? And I can also go way above and beyond that and eat whatever the hell delicious food that I want that I can create magically in my kitchen because I do know how to cook. That's one thing that I have going into our relationship prior was I had a very good working knowledge of the kitchen, right? And that also helps because being comfortable in the kitchen, being comfortable buying ingredients, that is that's something else too, right? I mean,
that's a huge thing. And there's this one particular study, but there's multiple studies, I think, after that. What they found was the correlation with the as people spent less time in their kitchens and actually cooking per week, obesity rates rose, and you know, the overweight percentages rose. And that makes it very easy to understand, because I'm like, one of the things that I always tell people is like, if you can learn, same thing, same idea. If you can learn like five different things in the kitchen, the core essentials, even to like the point of like, how do you hold a chef's knife to cut, you know, to cooking meat, to, you know, a few basic seasonings, right? For me, I literally only use garlic salt, and that's like my main thing. And people are always like, oh, this tastes so good. What do you use? Like, garlic salt. And I know how to cook meat properly, right? You learn a few things, all of a sudden you're gonna prefer your own food to anything that's out there. Like, I 100% prefer eating my own food out of any restaurant I've ever been in, hands down. Like, and I've been in some great restaurants all over the world. I would still, like, I go to restaurants for the ambiance and the atmosphere, you know. But
everybody's so afraid they're not going to have this, be able to live this great life of variety, right? And it's like, well, okay, where's your variety when you went through the drive-thru of Taco Bell and got the same thing you got every time, or the variety of the Sonic, or the variety of the Chinese restaurant, right? What is that variety compared to variety of lean proteins, eggs, milk, butter? I mean, all this shit that's actually good for you. Like, just switch one variety for another, and guess what? We're not missing out.
Well, it's not real variety anyway, because this is something that people will say is like, you know, it's like, well, if you are objective, and this is why the compassion is so important, because without the compassion, you can't see this for yourself, right? Like, just like, let's just slow down for a second. Like, how many things are you actually eating during the week?
Volume of consumption.
You're probably eating the 3 to 5 same things on repeat. Like, I guarantee you have pretty much the same thing. And so there is not really variety. And I'm like, you know, so now that we can get rid of that, it's like the variety that you can create for yourself when you're cooking your own food is actually simpler and far more satisfying. Cause I'm like, I can create with the same 4 ingredients a million different things based on how I cook it. And I don't want to create a million different things. Like, you know, I have like 4 things, you know. That's why I was like, I keep saying, like, Mexican food is the best food for fat loss. You can make with the same ingredients, you can make burritos, tacos, enchiladas, you know, quesadilla, whatever you want. But, dude, how are you doing on time? Cause I know, we could talk for a long time, but I know it's already.
We can go ahead and wrap it up if we need to. That's fine.
Yeah, were you about to say something?
Yes, I think so. Probably about variety, I think, and it's all about perception, right? I mean, I don't really have anything to say I lost that one too. I have no idea what I was going to say.
Well, no, that's I mean, that's what it is. Like, what your perception is the reality of your reality. Dude, so there's so many great stories that come to mind when I think back at, you know, when we were coaching. There was one, and like all of them come down to perception. There was one time where you went to some wedding and you ate this food that you felt like you had to eat. And then, you know, we had a conversation later and I was like, you didn't have to eat it. You could, and we were talking about like, how are we going to make it work and tracking all these things and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, was it good? And you were like, nah, it wasn't very good. And I was like, well, you could have, I don't know if you remember that, but I was like, you could have just left it alone, eaten a little bit, you know, whatever, or eaten like the low calorie stuff, you know, and then really been and it was like really being appreciative of these people and what they were able to provide, despite, you know, whatever. It's not even about how great or not great the food is. Like, these people invited you, you know, we get to spend some time together, and then you didn't need to eat it. You could have grabbed some Jack in the Box on the way home, easily tracked it.
When you told me that, I remember that very specifically. When you told me that, I was like, fuck. That's totally what I'm done. Yeah. Because I would have enjoyed that Jack in the Box a whole lot more.
Yeah. Yeah. No, these reminders are good, man. And like, that's one of the reasons I like to hire coaches myself, because they tell me things that, you know, are in my blind spot or I'm not looking at, or that, you know, that I'm complicating for myself. And like, that's the value of a good coach, is like they show you the obvious things.
Well, one thing, just, and then to that point, Ramveer, something that you showed me, right? A myth that you busted for me, a perception that I had, was that I can't be healthy and happy if I'm not eating 100% organic, grass-fed, sustainable, regenerative shit. Sorry, that's not true.
Yeah.
Sorry, you know, that was where I learned that I don't need the perfect meal to have the perfect life.
Yeah. Dude, that piece is so powerful, because it's like, it's not about, there's a lot of people who are doing all the right things and, you know, seemingly right things, trying to eat all the healthiest things and blah, blah, blah. But they're so constricted in their being. It's not even what you're putting in your food. It's what are you being mentally and spiritually that affects your physiology? And the people who don't, like, they'll be like, they'll dismiss this. I'm like, dude, what you're feeling and what you feel to be in your mind and your heart is affecting your physiology. Like, this is not like, oh, airy fairy. No. This is real, you know? And so what you are eating has, you know, it's not nearly as important as what you're being. Like, and that's, again, going back to like the compassion, the perspective, the kindness, like, that's going to have a more powerful impact on your body than anything else. And also another thing is, like, it doesn't matter if you're fat or not fat, or, you know, abs or no abs. Like, those are just preferences. What would you prefer? Like, let's continue to take the emotional drama out of this. And like, it just leads to a smoother ride, a more enjoyable ride. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up as well, because sometimes I just think about, I was like, damn, we had so many conversations that I wish I would have recorded, because it was just like chock full of like the meat. the meat and potatoes, you know?
Yeah.
Pun intended.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Did a lot of work. So
we'll probably do a part two, or, you know, talk more, because I think it's very helpful to have people hear this kind of stuff versus the typical podcasts and like media out there, which is just so divisive and like it just feels not great. I'm like, you can have everything and also feel good. Like, we don't need to do all this, you know, stuff.
Yeah. So. Jettison the Michigas, as I like to say.
What it?
Jettison the Michigas.
The Michigas?
Michigas is a Jewish term that I think loosely translates into nonsense.
I like that.
Jettison the Michigas. Let it go. Get rid of it.
That might be the name of this episode. Jettison the Michigash. I like it.
Yeah, I think it's Mishagas. Michigas. Yeah. Little bit of not Hebrew. What do they call the Jewish language? Yiddish.
Yiddish. Love some Yiddish.
Yep.
Well, cool, man. I appreciate you taking some time this morning on the new year. I think this is very helpful. It's helpful for me to remember these things as well. So,
yeah, me, brother. Thank you for reaching out and asking me to come on.
Yeah. Well, I hope you guys have a fantastic rest of the day and a wonderful new year. And we'll talk soon, man.
Yeah, take care, brother. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
Happy New Year.